Good morning. Here we go.
Good morning.
Who would like to start with a word of prayer? Just bless this little.
Father, I just thank you for this opportunity today to just spend some time with you, Father, and just to learn about more about you, to feel you and feel your presence in our life. And Father, thank you for the people who are here today, and we give you all the praise and glory.
Amen. Well, Oscar, we had a wonderful time last week kind of working out of this little reading that you read for us.
Okay.
And we didn't get quite through it, but it looked to me when I read. Do you have a copy of this? Did you bring one?
Yeah, I've got it in here.
So we were all just getting to the best part, I think.
I think I got one.
I'm not exactly sure where we left off. Mike, do you need one?
I'm fine. Almost. How do you need?
Revelation 21:7-8.
Where it says what?
He that overcometh.
21:7-8. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's start right there. In the middle of page whatever that is. I guess it's 2. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. You know what? Mike and I bought a lottery ticket. Just one or two. You know, we didn't spend our entire monthly income on one. But we thought, heck, you know, like $651 million, we'll give it a try. And then, so Mike found it, read today to see, and he said, we're not gazillionaires. I said, no, but my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yes.
And we're going to inherit all things. That is better than being a gazillionaire. He said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Wow.
It's in the middle of the second page, Anna.
I was hoping you guys could make heads or tails out of my notes. Because I make them for me. I don't make them for other people, you know. And I, a lot of times I don't line them up real good for somebody else. But I know what they are. So
This is what went along with when we were reading. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life. Oh, no. He shall not be hurt of the second death.
Yeah.
And that's what brought on all this about what is the second death and all of that. You know what, though, if we died with him, you know, we were born when we were born physically, and we were, and when he died, we died with him. So that's why we can't be hurt of the second death, because we died with him, we rose with him, and we reigned with him. And there's no judgment in that, because Christ did it all. He did it all. So, okay. So, I like when you wrote that, because you when I printed off these things about him that overcometh, it only gave you the part of overcoming that went in that particular verse. But the promise to the overcometh, to the overcomer, kind of goes on for 2 or 3 verses. So that's really, really good. And then it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Mm-hmm. That sounds ominous.
That tells you what it is there, right? Yes. There, second death.
Yes. But is there a human being that has ever yet been born that does, even if you're not all of those things, you are at least a liar. Mm-hmm. We are lies. I mean, we've all told lies. Mm-hmm. We've all believed lies. And in not understanding who we are, we lie to ourselves, you know, and that affects our judgments.
Yeah. We've been idolaters too, because there's things that we have put before God and has been really God's to us, mm-hmm. and really worships, and we've been idolaters too. Mm-hmm. But in God's eyes, sin is sin. There's not, when you divide up and try to name it, it's to him, sin is sin. Mm-hmm. There's no big middle or all that.
And you know, and I like that it also says, and the fearful and the unbelieving. Because to me, to be fearful and to be unbelieving is a sign of, I mean, that's not to me evilness. That is, oh my God, you know, I'm scared, I'm afraid, I'm, you know, what's gonna be all that, yes, it's a lack of faith. Because it comes only with processing of the Lord that you realize that God is God, He is all in all, He is in charge of all things, He is the great commander, you know. So He's the great controller of all things. So some of these things do have a part in the lake of fire.
In the, can I read an Amplified?
Absolutely.
I'll read 7, go down. He who is victorious shall inherit all these things, and I will be God to him, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowards and the, ignoble, and the contemptible and the cowardly submissive, and as for the unbelieving and faithless, and as for the depraved and defiled with abominations, and as for murderers and the lewd and adulterers and practicers of magic arts and the idolaters, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything other than God, and all liars, those who knowingly convey untruth by word or deed. Now all of these shall have their part in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone. This is the second death.
Mm-hmm. Still sounds ominous.
Mm-hmm.
However,
when you understand what the lake of fire,
yeah, that's
really
what I was going to say. If you talk about
not,
that.
It's not what you think, you know, in the natural way. That was the thing when the Lord took me to this one time to really get into it. That was the thing that really, it's going to really be a redemptive thing.
Yes.
I know it's,
yes.
You know, on the surface it doesn't sound like that, but it will be a redemptive thing.
Yeah, because man makes it look at like that don't understand it as punishment.
Right.
This is your punishment, your judgment, but it's not.
Yeah. Well, like I was telling Buddy before, when we were talking a little bit before Sunday school started, I said, we were talking about getting baptized. I said, well, where do you get baptized at? If you're not in a church, in a pool in a church, where do you go to get baptized? You go to the river or you go to the lake, you know. So, and even that word lake, you know, if you go on through this, it has the meaning of nearness to shore, you know. And if it's nearness to shore, that means it's nearness to a safe place, you know. So, I mean,
you know what that brings to mind to me is that if you do go to get baptized in the lake, you just step into the water. Close to shore. You don't go out in the middle of the ocean.
Well, as you're going down through all these different things here, you'll find out, you know, I mean, you know, what it really, all the different meanings of the things and what they really meant. And, you know, that's the trouble a lot of times with the interpreters. When they interpreted scripture, they had to try to interpret word for word, and they, a lot of times, didn't really give the full meaning of a word, you know. They just picked one thing, and you know, a lot of times dealing with the traditions of the elders and stuff when they were doing these things, they made it a lot traditional as to whatever the elders were saying at that time, you know, as they interpreted it.
Anybody else have anything there? I like the part where it says a lake, apparently a primary verb, to set on fire. How many people think of a lake and fire together? Mm-hmm. We don't. And then it says to kindle, or by implication, to consume. Mm-hmm. And who is a consuming fire?
Right.
Our God is a consuming fire. And so that lake of fire means come to me, come to God.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what God's intention has been from forever. And we do have to, all the hay and stubble has to be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
It can, you know, we can get a lot of it done now, and a lot of it has to be done then. I don't know how to put this without making it sound like, if you come to this full sense of your identity now, you have no part in having it revealed to you later.
Right.
But there are people who are still our brothers and our sisters who still have to have that revealed to them even later. And by coming to the consuming fire, who is God. Fire, literal or figurative, especially lightning. How about enlightening your mind to kindle a fire? And then there's that theos. And I love this. In its original sense, a flashing sulfur and brimstone. And that's exactly what the Dante's Inferno conception of hell is. Fire and brimstone. You're going to be burned and never consumed, you know? But that means godlike.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Oscar?
That's what it means.
Fire and sulfur and brimstone.
Yeah, divine Godhead.
Yes.
Or godlike.
Mm-hmm. Because God is a consuming fire, and he will consume anything that is not of him, you know? And those of us who understand it here, we're trying to come into a place of understanding it here, we can sit there and say, yes, yes, Father, take it. You know, I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of judging. I don't want any part of resentment. I don't want any part of anything except doing what your will for my life is. And when you get to that part, then you've already come to the consuming sulfur, the brimstone, you know what I mean? And then you're kind of relieved of the second death. Divinity, deity, not only used by the Greeks to denote the divine nature, okay, that fire, right, also means divinity, deity, yeah, because that's consuming fire, not only used by the Greeks to denote the divine nature of God, power, providence, in the general Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament, apparently some funny-looking word, equivalent to divine incense. Because burning brimstone was regarded as having power to purify.
It's a whole lot different than what it looks like on the surface, isn't it?
So different. Look at that down. Just skip the part about Matthew for now. For our God is a consuming fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's Hebrews 12:29. And then it takes you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. It's all already been laid. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone of all that is to be built. That foundation which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's all Jesus Christ. He is the first among many brethren. It's all because of him. Now, if any man built on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. The day star shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It will. It'll declare it. It's not going to consume you and punish you for all eternity. It's going to purify you. It's going to bring you into your full identity, that you would bow before him. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But listen to this, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous word right there.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Expound on
that. That's
that.
A word right there that everybody who's worried about hell should hear, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your works are going to be tried, and you'll suffer loss because mm-hmm. of the works that you did. But he himself shall be saved, as so as by fire. That's a tremendous, tremendous word.
When I look back on my life, I consider when it says about that any man who has, you know, lied and murders, and I've murdered people's spirit with my nasty, hateful words. And some of those consequences I still have today. There's so many things, you know, that we have done, but until our eyes are open, we don't really see them as they are, you know?
Yeah. Well, even what he says here, and what you just said there, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss.
Yes. Yeah.
And a lot of times, the very things that we've said and done will cause us to lose a friendship, to lose a family member, to lose somebody that will have absolutely nothing to do with us because we said something to them that that really hurt them or something, you know. And yet, God ultimately is going to let everything be saved by that fire. Is going to burn, consume all of that wood, hay, and stubble, you know, in all of the lives, ours and everybody else's, you know.
The neat thing about that is that as you become more acquainted with the personality or the, you know, the intimacy of relationship with God, the more he allows you to see. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, there are consequences. Mm-hmm. So you know what? I have a plan. And I'm God speaking now. And my plan is the best plan for you, you know?
Right.
And I keep getting taken back to, I will dry every tear, you know? And at that time, there will be no more misunderstandings. There will be, God's going to make it all okay. And if for this time you're suffering loss, remember that the loss came from you, from your actions. And don't take it out on somebody else, you know? Accept it as a friend, just like it says in James. You know, if trials come upon you, don't hate them, welcome them in, accept them as friends, because they are for your good, for your ultimate good. Okay, let's read a little further.
Okay.
I forget where I stopped.
Saved by fire.
That he himself shall be saved. You have anything else to say about that?
Well, and I think the next part of this is kind of explains that a little bit, especially when you get down, you know, when you get down to the next few verses after that, you know.
Well,
in Luke, you know.
Will you read it?
Well, it says. Okay.
No, I was going to say Brenda.
Okay, go ahead, Brenda.
In here, what he's got.
Yeah, in Luke 24:32.
What's on the paper?
Yes.
All right. Where it said the road. Luke 24:32 in the King James Version said the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and another brother in the Lord, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?
Then that next verse tells you something I think that really we should really come to understand. You know, in Hebrews 1:7 it says, and the angel saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a what?
Flame of fire.
Flame of fire. So when you realize that he's making you into a flame of fire, and you get a whole bunch of flames of fire together, what are you going to have? You're going to have a lake of fire.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was sharing with Buddy that when I've gathered with Liz, which is Savannah's mom, and her kids, and there was another guy there at the house, and I said, let's pray together before I... And Liz, her mother, started crying. Mm-hmm. And she said, I just don't know. Every time when you pray, I don't know what it is. I don't know, but I know it's God ministering to her. And she said, I can't tell you what I feel. Mm-hmm. And it's God. You know, I told her, it's God. And she cried. And then one time we were in church together in Springfield. And we were, Betty and I, we were praising the Lord. And she started crying. She said, I can't tell you what I feel. I can't. She couldn't explain it, but she was just saying what she was feeling. I know it's God ministering. Mm-hmm. And when he's talking about us being his minister, it's a flame of fire. fire within.
Yeah.
Which is,
I know for myself, when I come to church and I hear the really true revealed word of God, my heart burns within me. I say all the time, you know, I could stay here forever when I'm here. But then when I go out, you know, the cares of the world start getting on me, and but you can feel it. When you are feeling the truth revealed to you, your heart does burn within you, and it's a comfort, it's a reliance, it's just a knowing that his arms are around me, and I'm part of him, and he's part of me, and there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. You know,
you have that sometimes too when you're just fellowshipping, me too. Yeah, I mean, Sue and I just get together, have no, and I know that's when he gave me a vision of my minister to Rich, and we get together just going, and Christ is always, because he's there within us in the midst, and
doesn't matter what you're talking about.
It's him. And I know when Bea and I, the woman I take care of, we pray together every day. We'll just be talking sometimes, just sitting there talking, sharing, and God's presence just starts enlightening and ministering and strengthening, and just, it's beautiful. It's, you're sharing Him. Sharing Him.
I think that next verse down there in Matthew, when you get down into that's that begins to tell you something there, you know, this was John talking here, you know. Apostle John or whatever, or John the Baptist,
John
you know.
The Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mike, will you read that right there, Matthew? Yeah. Well, I just wanted to see what was on the next page.
It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Now, where do you baptize people at? In the lake?
Did
you baptize them in the lake or the river or whatever?
It was in the lake and it was close to the shore.
But he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
So
when Jesus went down and got baptized, the tongue come and the heavens open? And
well, the heavens opened, and there was the spirit of the dove, like, descended upon him. But when you go on and read the rest of this, and you get on down to the rest of it, you see what they experienced on the day of Pentecost, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a type of that, too, see. But, you know. See, where a lot of people make their mistakes in scriptures, the Lord showed me a long time ago, and I feel like he told me a long time ago, to understand scripture, you have to find scripture that explains it to really understand it, you know, what it's saying. So when you're seeing something talking about fire, You got to go find all the scriptures that talk about fire, mm-hmm. and you got to see now where, you know, what is he talking about here? And when he's talking about, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, wait a minute, you know, Holy Ghost and fire. He's going to baptize me with fire. How's he going to baptize me? He's going to immerse you in the fire of God. And when he immerses you in the fire of God, he's going to burn up the wood, the hay, the stubble, everything. But also, when you realize that he makes his ministers a flame of fire, you have to realize that collectively, we will be the fire of God in the earth. You know, collectively, as we really come to our true identity, and we'll begin to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in people's lives. Well, how do you do that? Because first of all, you don't lay anything to their charge. Mm-hmm. You give them the forgiveness, the reconciliation of God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and he's given us the word of reconciliation. Yes. Yes. That we might go out and do the work of reconciliation. Well, what's the work? To begin to tell people what he did. Mm-hmm. And then it's already been accomplished, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of people who walk around with a lot of guilt, a lot of junk on their lives, you know, because they feel like they can't approach God and that they're not worthy, and none of us are worthy when you get down to our worthiness. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, he's going to burn up. And, you know, you got to read the rest of that. And what's it say? Whose fan is in his hand, mm-hmm. he will thoroughly purge his flour. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that's really, yeah, and gather the wheat into his garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, and, you know, and that word there for is literally is talking about purge. He'll thoroughly purge his flowers, and that means to cleanse perfectly. To cleanse perfectly. And you know, Brother Eddie preached a sermon years ago when I was a real young Christian, and it stuck with me, and you know, it really helped me a lot, because sometimes I would feel like, man, I'm falling short, you know, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm still doing things I shouldn't be doing and stuff like that when I first got saved, you know, and he preached a sermon on the chaff, and basically, you know, the chaff is of no value, but it's left on the wheat until the wheat comes to full maturity. Once it's come to full maturity, you break the chaff off. And after you break the chaff off, then you have the fruit there. But the fruit is there then. It's full grown. It's mature. And you know, what he basically was saying is that the chaff in your life, it's necessary. God's left it there, and he's left it there for a reason. Have you ever prayed about something and said, Lord, take this out of my life or that out of my life? You know, maybe you find yourself saying things you shouldn't say or doing things you shouldn't do once in a while or something or whatever, and you seem to can't get it on top of it. I call that the chaff. That's something that a lot of times, just like Paul said, he said, God sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And literally what he was talking about is, he said, out of the abundance of revelation that I had, you know, I besought the Lord three different times and said, you know, Lord, take this out of my life, whatever it was. He didn't tell you the thorn in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Take this out of my life. And how did God answer him? My strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yeah. My grace.
My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, he was saying, I'm not going to take it out of your life. I'm going to leave it there, you know. And when you realize sometimes that takes some of the pressure off of you and the guilt off of you sometimes for things that you just can't seem to get on top of, you know. And if we're all honest, you got something somewhere that you got that, you know. If it's that you say something, you do something, or you can't seem to quit doing this or saying that or doing something that you know that you shouldn't, and you find yourself doing it and doing it and doing it, and you've prayed and said, Lord, please take this out of my life, you know. And a lot of times, if you hear his voice, he's saying, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. you'll keep on seeking me because that's there. You know, and he just leaves it there and doesn't take it away.
It's still a purpose because it does make you look to him more.
It does.
It humbles you.
Well, anytime that you begin to, have you ever noticed that if all of a sudden, and you know, the Lord showed this to me years ago about, you know, complaining about somebody else or something. You know what I mean? You find yourself complaining, well, brother so-and-so over there, he does this or he does that, or sister so-and-so, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and we've all done that at one time or another. But he dealt with me about that at work, you know, where this guy that worked with me was constantly down in the other guys. Well, me and this other guy were the highest paid guys in that department. And what he was saying was the truth. But the Lord dealt with me, and he gave me that poem about, it seems that man is always talking about himself. He talks about his good deeds, and he talks about his wealth. Mm-hmm. He talks about the wonderful things that he's said and done, but he talks about his neighbor with words I hear will shun. It seems that man can see the fault in everyone around, but he can't see his own reflection. It's nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. Oh, that God would open our eyes that we might truly see that we're no better than our neighbor, whoever our neighbor might be, mm-hmm. and help us learn to look at ourselves before we judge any other, and know that in the eyes of God, that one is even our brother.
Yes.
And I tell you what, we are our brother's keeper. We are. So when we see a man overtaken in a fault, rather than condemning them, we need to pray for them.
Yes.
You know.
You even need to go over and put your arm around him and say, buddy, it's going to be okay.
It's all right.
Not be his enemy, be his friend.
Well, that scripture in Galatians where it says, ye which are spiritual, when you see a man overtaken in the fault, doesn't say a brother or sister, it says a man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That takes in everybody.
Yes.
You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
Yes.
Well, what will end up happening a lot of times when you find yourself judging somebody harshly, God will let you fall into a position where you'll say something or do something, and all of a sudden he'll let you know, hey,
you're no different than
that person. Mm-hmm. You might not be doing the exact same thing, but you're doing something that displeases me just as much in a certain way, you know. And I mean, man, he has a way of just balancing you and chipping off the rough edges and the pride of you thinking that you're way beyond somebody else. Hey, ain't none of us way beyond nobody else, you know. And that's the one thing that sometimes bothers me sometimes about people when they get into the deeper truths and deeper word. Sometimes they get puffed up. Knowledge puffs up, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they'll begin to think, well, bless God that I ain't like them brothers that believe in the rapture and do this and do that. Hey, God loves them brothers that believe in the rapture just as much as he loves you. He's allowed them to believe in the rapture until the time comes that he shows them something different, you know. And what you should do is fellowship on the level of love, mercy, forgiveness, and all the levels that you can fellowship with them on, and not beat them up over the rapture thing, because until God gets ready to take that away, you ain't going to take it away from them. Mm-hmm. You know, I taught Sunday school down at the other church a lot for years, and I had a brother sitting in there one time, and he came up to me, and he believed in the rapture, you know, and I knew he did. But I had never said a word about the rapture. Not one word had I ever said about it. Mm-hmm. He come up to me after a class one time, and he says, you don't believe in the rapture, do you? And you know how God had me answering? Here's the way I answered him. I said, well, let me tell you something, brother. I said, I only teach what God deals with me about. He's never dealt with me about there being a rapture. You know, mm-hmm. I said, now, if you'd like to sit down with me and explain it all to me, I said, I'll be glad to sit down with you. That was the last I ever heard of that, because he couldn't have explained it. And it wasn't that I was telling him there was a rapture or there wasn't a rapture. I just basically felt like that was the way I was supposed to answer him. Well,
wisdom.
You know, and then God gave me the wisdom to not offend him, but yet let him know, can you even explain this thing? Do you even know what you're really talking about? And he really didn't, you know what I mean? And this was somebody that had been in the Lord for a long time, you know, and stuff. So even with that, we have to walk in love with people, you know, yes. And not beat them up because we think we know something they don't know or something. I mean, my goodness, you know.
I have something here. I don't know what we're talking about, but I read Brother Hebe a lot, and this one is from his book. It says, do not look with the physical eye, mm-hmm. with the natural understanding or carnal perception. Look with the eye of the Spirit,
right.
the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Look clear through the individual, discerning by the Spirit the root and source of the issue, and there will flow grace to help.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Did anybody in here besides me ever in your travels between first love, knowing God, and now, ever believe in the rapture? If for only a... Mm-hmm. I did.
No.
You know, when I got out of the Catholic Church where we had purgatory, which was, you know, and... which is also a false doctrine, and I got into another church that taught the rapture. I'm like, wow, that is so cool. You know how you do. You go through growth, you know?
Oh, you do.
You do. And so
well, the way
it helps you to understand when that brother is going through that time. Hey,
right,
I went
right.
through that.
Nothing, you know, the thing with the way that the Lord dealt with me, my mother did not hammer scripture into us, did not really get into that kind of stuff because she was too busy working, trying to provide for four kids, come home dog tired, and then try to do all the stuff she needed to do as a mother at home. And, you know, because my dad died when I was four. And, you know, we knew she loved the Lord. I mean,
she lived it, right.
And you know, and mother, she was into a deeper word. You know, once I started talking to her years later, but she never set us down and had to memorize scripture. We didn't have Bible studies. We didn't do any of that stuff, you know, because she just didn't have time for all that and everything, to be honest with you. But, you know, when I first got saved, God hid from her that he was dealing with me. I rode to work with her every day, and he hid it from her. And she was very perceptive spiritually. I mean, she had a strong spirit of discernment. And I've told y'all, I mean, me and Margaret be fussing. We lived 2 or 3 miles down the road from her. We'd be fussing or something. We'd get a phone call, and she'd say, everything all right down there? I was in there praying, and God showed me, you know, brought you two up before me. Something going on down there? I'd say, no, Mother, everything's fine. You know, I'd lie, you know. I mean, we'd be really fussing at each other, heavy or something. Well, you know, she was like that. She was very, very discerning, had a very strong spirit of discernment. Well, I was riding to work with her every day when God was dealing with me. And I mean, and when I gave my life to the Lord, I was still riding to work with her. And finally, one day I was up, you know, and God had started giving me a hunger for his word. And I was up at her house because we used to go up here on Sundays and eat dinner because she'd always invite us all up, all the kids. And I was sitting on the couch, and she come in and sit down next to me, and she says, what's going on with you? It makes me almost cry just to talk about it. But I told her, I said, I gave my life to the Lord. She says, man, he hid that from me. She said, I knew something was happening. She said, but I didn't know what. And she said, he hid that from me. And she said, I think he did that so I'd keep my hands off of it. She was very wise, you know, very wise. And she said, I'll give you one piece of advice. Learn to know God for yourself. Nobody else can know him for you. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's exactly what I did. And I didn't go to church for months after I got saved. I mean, you know, I got saved at home. You know, God dealt with me at home. I went in and told him, I said, Lord, I give up. I can't run from you no more. I got to have you in my life. And buddy, he started giving me an insatiable hunger to get into his word. And I didn't know the Bible, you know, because Mother had not, you know, she hadn't hammered the Bible in on us or anything. And I would sit there and read a passage, and I'd stick my finger in there and close the book, and I'd say, Lord, I don't know what in the world I just read. You have to teach me. You have to guide me. I don't know what this means, you know. And buddy, he started opening things up to me left and right. And that's where, confess sometimes your ignorance before the Lord. Don't, you know, don't think, well, bless God, I got it all lined up and I know exactly. Oh, man, when you think that, then you're in trouble, I'll tell you. That's why I've said many times that I'd almost trade everything I know for the stuff I don't know, because I know there's so much more that God has, and I really wouldn't give it away. But I mean, you know, that you feel that way when you really understand that we've just scratched the surface, because He's going to give glory in the church ages to come. He's going to unfold Himself to us more and more and more all the time, and it's going to be fantastic. I mean, really fantastic. But, you know, and he started teaching me. And, I mean, I'd sit there and close the book, and I'd just sit there and just quiet still, not doing anything, just being quiet and just sitting there. And I'd say, Lord, you got to teach me. And I'd be daggone. I'd go to work or something, and one of the guys who was a Christian or something there would come over and start talking to me, trying to tell me, look out for the Baptists, look out for the Methodists, look out for the, and I got that from all different kind of guys coming by. And I just tell him, I said, well, you know, I don't know about all that. I said, I'm just trusting the Lord, and I'm looking to Him for all this stuff. And I was talking to this one guy one time, and he started telling me all this stuff. And I said, well, you know, I don't know about all that. And I started telling him some things that I felt down inside. And he told me, he says, you know what you just said there? He says, that's in the book of James. Well, I hadn't read the book of James yet. I hadn't got that far. I was still in the Gospels, you know, trying to get through the Gospels. But God was already planting things down inside of me. And that's the thing, when you know, you don't really have a need that any man teach you. And when we're in here, it's not, if I say something that helps you, or Kathy says something, or you say something that helps somebody or whatever, it's not really you doing that. It's the Holy Spirit in you, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher, you know. And they was sent to lead and guide you into all truth, you know. So, you know, but we've all got those things of chaff in our life. We've all got that. And, you know, you can ask God to take it away, take it away, take it away. Sometimes it's a habit. Sometimes it's something you say. Sometimes it's something that you do, or whatever it happens to be. And you show me a man that can stand up and say, I have no chaff in my life.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you, you need to run from the other direction, away from that person. Because there ain't none of us at this point so perfect in God, in ourself, you know what I'm saying, that the self-life isn't still there. And until that self-life is totally dead, then, you know, and I you know, I'll tell you another way he showed me that one time. He dealt with me about all of the things in that you know, like the showbread and the Ark of the Covenant and all that. You know what those things were made out of? They were made out of shittim wood. A corruptible, thorny wood. Very thorny. And I'm telling you, our lives usually are very thorny. We stick people sometimes. We say the wrong thing. We do the wrong thing. We stick them. But what did God have him do? He had him overlay that with gold. And I had, well, it was actually Sister Audrey said to me, well, I believe God turned it into gold. I said, no, I don't believe he did. I said, I believe he left the corruptible under the gold so that the corruptible part of you would always remember, this isn't really me. This is God overlaying me. This is God in me. This is not, you know, you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And when I'm talking about, you know, when we talk about mistaken identity, I know a lot of times we want to say, oh, bless God, you know, mistaken identity, I'm really perfect because God says I'm perfect. That's true, because he said it because of what he did, not because of what you did.
Yes.
And he's always going to let you know, if you start getting a little too puffed up, he's going to let you know that you ain't arrived yet on your own. You won't arrive on your own. You'll arrive at the appointed time that he wants you to arrive. You know, there's an appointed hour, appointed day, appointed time. And in Scripture, you see that over and over and over. You know, and that's the way it is. And
there's great comfort in that.
It is. It is. Because we don't have to do nothing to get there other than just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis.
And truly, there's no way you're not going to get there.
You're going to get there, that's right. You're going to get there because his whole purpose for mankind is to bring mankind into that total image and likeness and for us to realize
that such a rest.
He is our life, you know.
Such a rest.
My son always says to me, people talk. He's saying things, you know, about the Bible and everything. Uh-huh. He said, I don't think they've ever read the Bible.
A lot of them have.
People that talk, they just heard things and they try to go, you know, say things in the Bible. He said, these people have never, and these are educated people. Mm-hmm. He said, I doubt if they've ever opened the Bible or read it, you know. They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, a lot of times, even if they have read it, they've read it with their natural mind and not dependent on the Holy Spirit to unfold the reality of it, the truthfulness of it. You know what I mean? That's like this scripture we're going through here right now about the lake of fire. I mean, that sounds pretty mean. That sounds pretty... And you know, people talk about hell being eternal. You know, have you ever heard that? Many, many times, haven't you? Oh, you're going to hell forever, never, never. Mm-hmm. Well, wait till we get a little farther into this and we find out what happens to hell.
Yeah.
And what happens to death.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
The same old lake.
They go right in that lake, that's right. They go right in that lake, hell and death.
Praise God, I never thought about that because that is God. The love of God.
That's right. Hell and death. So there'll be no more death and there'll be no more hell.
So when I die,
yeah,
I'm going to be cremated.
Yeah.
Well, your body.
So did that mean I went through the lake of fire and I'll come out just fine?
Well, you went into the natural fire anyway. The lake of fire is that real fire of God's right inside of you. It's inside of you.
When I die and I go over to the other side, that dear Etta is going to be standing right there, whether her body is consumed with natural fire.
Well,
she's going to give me a big old hug and say, welcome home.
Jesus made that statement one time when one of them said, suffer me to go and bury my father. You know, and what did he say to him? Let the dead bury the dead.
Follow me.
What was he saying? If you don't know me, you're already living in the realm of death. You know what I mean? Because I am the life. If you don't know me, you don't know life. You know, and you know. I mean, you know, you hear preachers and they skip over so many things that give an explanation for the things that they're saying that would really take it into a deeper level, you know, than what they're really saying, you know. And you know, every scripture has at least three levels, I'm gonna tell you. You know, a lot of people like to say, well, there's more heavens than the three. Well, I don't say that because I know that the scripture tells us about being caught up to the third heaven, so. And I know that in the tabernacle in the wilderness, how many levels were there? The outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. There was three. And we know three is a very significant number. Now, if somebody says, I was caught up into the 10th heaven or the 11th heaven, I'll say, well, that's fine for you. I'll be satisfied going to the third heaven. And what Paul say when he said he was caught up, he knew a man once that was caught up into that level. He said he saw and heard things that were unlawful for him to even speak. Oh my God!
That
what did
makes
he?
My heart
oh,
burn
it does. Oh wow! Just think about that, you know. And you know, Paul said he was given that thorn in the flesh for what? The abundance of revelation that was given to him. And we don't know if Paul told us everything that God showed him. He told us what we were able to bear at this point. You know?
Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it ever entered into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for him.
But by his Spirit, he's revealing them to us, you know, and it'll happen, and he's doing that. But it's a process.
I love that when we sit and talk, I love that burning, that pure rest that comes on me when we do that.
Well, I just like my version because there's no thinking about it. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven, wherever that is or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because I right. read about it and it seems like it's pretty nice. So
that's, right.
that's where I want to go.
That's right. That's right.
Let's close, yes. okay? Gosh, it's been a good, good morning.
Yes. yes.
Father, we just thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you for that lovely rest burning in our souls
yes.
that come from just talking about you and feeling you thank with you. Us. Father, we don't want to rise up and be all high and mighty in our intellect. Father, we just want to love you with all
yes.
of our hearts. And we want for ourselves whatever you will have for us this day. And so, Father, just reveal more as we go into the next service. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for that wonderful feeling of that you are in control. You are the great
yes.
controller of all things.